This is FBG Jen
and FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margot, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. And once again, we have an Olympian on the show. I can't believe it. On the line today, it's myself, Margot, and we have Jen.
Hey, not an Olympian.
Not an Olympian. And Kristen.
Also not an Olympian.
But you're always on the call with me at least, Kristen, when we have an Olympia on the show.
That I am. I'm a little bit of a fangirl about the Olympians. So yeah. Just try to make me miss it.
And I'm a few years older than you two. I remember Mary Lou Retton being a big deal. I was a kid when she was winning all those medals. And so I was wondering, because you are younger than me, like, what are your impressions of her when people talk about her? When they say Mary Lou Retton, what goes through your head?
So for me, I think I'm barely the youngest of the group. She is just, like, she's the cover of the Wheaties box. You know what I mean? Like, she is just, that's how I view her. Like, she's just this dominant female athlete who was, like, strong and mighty and short, but very mighty. Again, very mighty. Just was, like, full of just personality. And for me, like, if you think of, like, who's got a bubbly, but not, like, fake, but, like, an authentically bubbly, energetic personality that's kind of, like, Miss America, like, American Sweetheart or something. Like, I think it's Mary Lou Retton. I think she's kind of the standout for me. Yeah. What about you, Kristen?
Yeah, I think that she's the first Olympian who I really remember. And I'm like a year older than you, Jen. So I think that I'm probably
barely,
like, yeah, I think I am, like, just barely old enough to have remembered that taking place. And I don't really remember, like, necessarily watching it on TV, I don't think, but I just remember the buzz surrounding it, because it was just such a big deal that she was there and she was, you know, slaying. So she really, and I got to tell my little story to her a little bit about how I ended up doing, like, gymnastics and dance and all of that stuff, largely because I just thought it was so cool that she did. And I'm sure that, you know, every young woman and little girl from, like, a whole range of ages had the same basic experience. But yeah, I agree. She was just this super, like, strangely, like, supersized figure that was out there and just smiling and powerful and successful. And I think we'll talk about it in the interview, but, like, she overcame some things that I, at the time, of course, had no idea.
Right.
Was the case. I was just like, oh, well, of course she's going to win. She's awesome. But that wasn't necessarily a gimme.
No, it wasn't. And also her shape, and she talks about it in this interview today, and I never really thought about it, but she says that she had a different body type than people were used to. They're used to, like, these really slender Eastern European girls, you know, out on the mat. And she was more muscular and more strong. And that's why she succeeded. And it would just, like, sort of flipped the whole thing about women's gymnastics and what they should look like. And so now when we see our female gymnasts, like, they look more like Mary Lou versus,
yeah,
you know, going older, like Nadia Comaneci or somebody like that. It was, like I said, a very thin, slender, you know, wispy kind of, like, Eastern European girl, you know, that, so she'd really kind of changed things for that. And, you know, for me, I always thought she, to me, she's cheerful and she's one of those people that's just always smiling and stuff like that. But I get the, from interviewing her, I get the idea she's much more down to earth. She's not phony or whatever. She's just, she's just joyful. You know what I mean? And it's come from a very honest place. And I really enjoy talking to her. I mean, you really felt her warmth.
Oh yeah. It's like she takes up, for as small, I think, as she is in stature, she just, how short she is basically, but how she takes up, it sounds terrible, like, what I'm saying.
I don't know. No.
Anyway, you know what I mean? But she's fairly petite despite all of her muscle. Like, she's still fairly petite, but I feel like she just commanded so much attention and just took up so much space and was just fully her, you know? And I think that comes through in the interview too. And I think, you know, it could be difficult, like, if everyone perceives you as kind of like, oh, she's so bubbly and, you know, lighthearted or whatever. But, like, no, there, you know, obviously there's a deeper side to her as well. And I think that also comes through.
Yeah.
A lot of things come through in the interview. It's a really authentic, really cool conversation we got to have with her. I'm really grateful for it.
Yeah, this was when I got off the phone and I had told a few people that I was going to be talking to her. And this is one of the interviews that I had, like, the most feedback of people, like, texting me and saying, how was it? Was she really that cool? Was she really that cheerful? And I'm like, she was just wonderful. She was everything you wanted her to be.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm kind of putting this together now, but, like, I think that she was probably a really helpful influence for me in terms of the fact that, you know, she was more muscular than a lot of the women you were seeing in the media at that time. And I've talked about this on here before. I've always been pretty damn muscly. Even as a kid, I had biceps, not because I was trying to, but that's just sort of my build. And it was something that for a long time, I struggled with. But gosh, I mean, can you imagine if I hadn't had her in my life in, you know, in whatever way, as such a young kid, to like see someone like that being so incredible and successful and powerful, because I could at least say, oh, well, you know what? Yeah, I've got bigger muscles than the other girls in my class, but like, so is Mary Lou. And I don't know if I really put that together until we got to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Mary Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary Lou. I have one regret about this interview. I didn't get to ask her my Scrooge question. She's like, Scrooge is one of my favorite movies of all time.
You're the master of your Scrooge. Hope we ever get to talk to her again.
Yes.
Number one.
So, Mary Lou, if you're listening, we'd love to have you back on again. And please let me ask you a Scrooge question. I promise I won't get too weird, but it's one of my favorite movies and I need to have some gossip from the set. Something about Bill Murray or Karen Allen. Somebody from that set. All right. So I guess we'll just go into it today. Here's our Mary Lou Retton interview. Mary Lou Retton catapulted to international fame by winning the all-around gold medal in women's gymnastics at the 1984 Olympic Games in Los Angeles, becoming the first woman ever to win a gold medal in gymnastics. She also won silver medals for team and vault and bronze medals for uneven bars and floor exercise. And her 5 medals were the most won by any athlete at the 84 Olympics. Even today, she continues to touch the lives of millions of Americans and people around the world. A national sports survey found she's the most popular athlete in America, and she travels the world as a fitness ambassador, promoting the benefits of proper nutrition and exercise. She's here today to talk about how she keeps a happy and healthy home life for her whole family, including her 4 daughters, who are all athletes. Welcome to the show, Mary Lou Retton.
Hey, thanks, ladies.
Well, thank you for being on the show today. It's myself, Margot, and on the line today we have both Jen and Kristen. And Mary Lou, I'm going to ask you the first question. Your Olympics, excuse me, is one of the earliest ones I can remember, and I am trying not to fangirl all over the place right now. But can you tell us? I mean, I had the Wheaties box and everything. But can you tell us what it was like to work so hard and become the first American woman to win the gold medal in the Olympics? And then my follow-up is, where do you keep your medals?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Obviously, yes. For being an amateur athlete, that is the pinnacle of any amateur athlete's success, is to be able to stand on the podium at an Olympic Games, and someone comes and drapes a gold medal around your neck, the flag is rising, the national anthem's playing, you got big U.S. of A on the back of your warm-up. I mean, it is a moment I dreamt of every single night when I laid in bed since I was 7 years old, and I was just very blessed, and I'm very grateful that it happened to me. Not easily, you know, I trained very, very hard. I had to sacrifice and go through a lot of triumphs, a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges along the way. But for anyone who lives life, you know that kind of makes the success of so that much sweeter. So it was an amazing, amazing moment, almost hard to describe in words. And, you know, I won 5 medals at that Olympics. And I think that there's something special to being the first, because I am still humbled that 33 years later, if you can believe it, that,
oh my gosh,
you know, like yourself, people remember where they were that summer of 1984. They're like, because it was only on one station. It was on ABC live. There wasn't any of the social media. Like, you didn't know it, what was going to happen, unless you watched it live on television. People, you know, say, you know, I was at the beach and our family came in from the ocean and we sat and we watched. And, you know, I'm so humbled by that. But it's special being the first, I guess. That's why people remember it. I'm wearing my medals Okay, this is the truth. I had my 5 medals in a plastic Wonder Bread bag underneath my bed for years, for years and years. And then when I got married, my husband took my medals and had this beautiful plaque made. And anyway, so they're now in a very nice place in a war room. So.
Oh, that's great. Sounds like a keeper right there. And Mary Lou, my name's Kristen. I just want to say you've had a huge impact on my life. I was 4 when you won gold. And so you were just this preeminent figure all throughout my childhood. I mean, just everybody Aww. Knew you. And shortly after the Olympics, I started taking dance lessons. And then I moved on to gymnastics, despite the fact that I was about 1/2 foot taller than every other kid my age. And yeah, that didn't stop. So, but you were just a huge inspiration to me and to, I mean, honestly, I feel like everybody I knew at that point. So I have to know who inspired you to be the gymnast you, and the woman you are, because, I mean, you want to talk about setting goals, like you set some goals and I know that had come from multiple places. That's amazing.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet, very kind words you just shared with me. So I appreciate that. You know, I was 7 years old when I remember watching my very first Olympic Games, and they were the 1976 ones that were held in Montreal, Canada. And I'm the youngest of 5 kids in a very athletic and competitive family. And I was always that kid that was self-taught, you know, flipping on mom's bed and doing cartwheels out in the yard, just always like flipping and tumbling. And that summer of 76 at 7 years old, I was watching the Olympics. There's this little girl named Nadia doing these from a country I've never heard of called Romania. And she's doing these amazing things with her body. And I was like, oh, it clicked for me. It really did at 7 years old. It was like, that's it? Like, that's what I want to do. And there's a name for it. It's called gymnastics. And that seed was planted in me that little bitty summer back in 76. That sounds like an Eagles song. That actually sounds like an Eagles song. but it really was. And you know, Kristen, I remember that feeling of going, oh, my gosh, I want to be just like her. I want to do what Nadia did. And it's a powerful feeling. And then you fast forward 9 years later, I have young little girls like yourself having that same feeling for me. And really, what a huge responsibility, but wow, what an honor. What an honor. So I'm blessed to have been on both sides, and I know how important that is. And I really think that's why God blessed me with 4 daughters, to be able to kind of grow up and mature, good, strong, independent, motivated women. And that's really my goal right now is to motivate and have independent, strong women.
This is Jen. This is that is all like so incredibly beautiful and touching. And I think I can speak for Margot and Kristen. We're all just like sitting here probably with like a huge smile on our face and maybe tears in our eyes because that is just like so perfect. I would love to know, I guess a little bit, because I think you talked on two things that we wanted to go a little bit further in, which was how you talk about body confidence and instill body confidence and just an overall sense of confidence in your daughters. And then also just with like everything that you have done in your life and all of those moments that you're just talking about, how do you keep your motivation going? And then what are some of the new things that you're working on? Because we know they're doing some work with Nature's Bounty. So we'd love to hear a little bit more about all that, please.
Of course. Okay, I forgot what the first one was.
I know, right? I was like, let me ask 14 questions at once. Daughters. I want to hear about daughters.
My daughters and being self-confident and body awareness and all that. We're athletes. My 4 daughters are all athletes. 3 are gymnasts. 1 is a competitive cheerleader, which, you know, has some gymnastics influence. So we have, I'm the cook in the family. We eat healthy. I don't use foods like skinny, thin. We use words like healthy and strong and lean and clean and things like that. You know, I brought up in a sport, you know, 30 decades ago where we didn't know much. And I'm a little bit scarred from being called fat, overweight, because the sport of gymnastics had never seen anybody like me. You know, I look back and all the gymnasts were slender with pink ponytails and pixie and graceful. And then my coach, Bella Crowley, would say to me, or to the media, he would say, Mary Lou is not a butterfly, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, gosh, really? You know, they had never seen anyone like me. I mean, they called me thunder thighs, or they called me Earl Campbell legs, and he was one of the great running backs in the 70s and 80s. And I really don't think it was a compliment, but that's how I was described. I was strong. I was explosive. I was powerful, something gymnastics hadn't seen before. And you fast forward now, look at Simone Biles and look at Allie Raisin, and I am so proud that I opened that door, because that's what gymnastics has grown to, these strong, powerful women. So with saying that, that's how I run my household. We don't use words to put us down. We use words to encourage us and to feel good about ourselves. How do I keep myself motivated? You know, that's a challenge. Just so, you know, I'm human like everybody else. I'm a pretty high-energy person. I'm a pretty self-motivated person. I'm a goal setter, so I set small little goals, whether on a daily basis, a weekly, a monthly. But I do things, these are some of the things I do to try to keep that positive influence in my life. I surround myself with positive people. You know, even this goes back to my training days. You'd have teammates, you know, that just that one person that's just the downer. Oh, and they just, that energy to me is toxic. I don't like to be around it. I really try to have my core people to have the same kind of, I don't know, positive vibe that I have. That helps me. I'm just trying to always, you know, keep the idea that to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, always the glass is half full instead of half empty. I try not to judge people. And you know, I'm a hypocrite at times, and I do judge. But that's really the thing that I've been working on the most, is trying to not be so judgmental of things, of other people, you know, people, persons, places, and things, all of that stuff. Because I hate being judged. I literally was judged. You know, a woman in a blue blazer would come out with a clipboard and judge me. And, you know, here's my goal, ladies. I want to be able to walk into a room one day and not care what anybody thinks of me. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But that truly is one of my deep down goals, is to be so okay with myself that it doesn't matter. I'm getting there. Baby steps.
Absolutely. That is so inspiring, because I associate you with being your big smile. And so I always think of you as someone like, well, does she have bad moods? Does she have bad days? But you're telling us you're very human. And, okay, good.
Oh, yes. You could ask my husband and my daughters. Of course I do. I was going to say, and those are the hard days when, you know, especially when my kids were younger, you know, it's early in the morning because they wake up early, and you're in the grocery store, and these are funny days. I'm literally still in pajama bottoms and probably flip-flops, haven't even brushed my teeth yet. And I'm walking down the cereal aisle, and you look to the left, and there's my face on a Wheaties box, the whole shelf. And then somebody, you know, somebody's coming up and recognize me and wanting autographs and wants to tell me their story about, you know, how I did this and when they watched. And honestly, I'm not in the mood. I'm embarrassed. My breath is bad. You know, those are the days when you struggle to to be that Mary Lou Retton. There were a lot of those. There's a lot of those today. But that's when I have to kind of slap myself in the face and say, gosh, you should be grateful. You should be grateful that people are want to still talk with you and feel that they can come up. I've always prided myself on being approachable. I want people to feel comfortable to come up to me and share those things. So, but yeah, I have a lot of those days, ladies.
Oh, well, that definitely does make all of us feel a little bit more normal. Now, given your experience, do you have any advice for young athletes who have been, I'm specifically, of course, thinking of gymnastics, but, you know, maybe kids who have been seriously involved in any sport for a long time, are used to spending all of these hours training, and then all of a sudden they're quote unquote retiring. Maybe they'll still, you know, continue doing it recreationally, but they're no longer going to be putting in the kinds of hours that someone at that level does. Do you have any advice for them in terms of just staying active and healthy and continuing to set goals when they're not, you know, I'm going to go to the Olympics type goals?
Well, I do. And I think that any sport, which is, you know, whether it's sport or music or art, every family is that kind of family. We're a sport family. We're specifically a gymnastics family. Sports just builds that foundation, I think, that you really do carry on to other parts of your life. You know, I know when I retired from gymnastics, I went from literally working out 8 hours a day. You did 4 in the morning, 4 in the evening. That was every day for many, many several years. And when I stopped, I stopped. You know, I took a little break. I let my body rest and heal a little bit. But I took those same principles of discipline, those same principles of wanting to look good, wanting to feel good, into other things. And that's when I tried other sports, cycling, aerobics. You know, that was the big aerobic craze back in those days. And swimming and cross training. And, you know, just I think that sport really develops those qualities in young people, which I think is one of the reasons that kids today are successful, young successful people are, if you look back in their careers or in their childhood, a lot of them are athletes, and they go on to be very successful in whatever endeavors that they do, because it's the same principles.
So I know we want to be really mindful of your time here. We have two final questions. Margo will ask our last one here in a second, but we'd love to know just a little bit more about what you're doing with Nature's Bounty. Can you tell us?
Absolutely. It was such a win-win team kind of thing. Nature's Bounty and I teamed up, and we had this campaign called Dear Future Me. You know, I'm a big believer, and I always have been, even in my training days, of taking vitamins and supplements. We eat healthy in our house, but I think vitamins and supplements really, you know, if you're not getting that extra nutrients and nutrition, they help. So I've taken them my entire life. So when they teamed up, I was like, this is a no-brainer for me. You know, I'm a big believer in it. So I did this Dear Future Me campaign with them, and it was really encouraging people in America to, starting today, to really make your future healthy. And, you know, being healthy is different for a lot of different people. For me, it meant being healthy physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, all those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm kind of beat up from my career. I've had a lot of orthopedic operations. I've had hip replaced and back surgeries. I want to be around when these four children, these four daughters, give me all these grandbabies they've been. You know, I want to be able to travel with them and babysit them and take them on, you know, grandma dates and all that. And it starts today. Taking care of myself starts today. And that was kind of the message that we went out to America is taking that responsibility of a healthy future and starting today with that. Yeah, we're big. We take, you know, calcium. We take biotin. That's a big. That's a big vitamin supplement in our house for hair, skin, and nails. You can imagine in a house full of women. B12, probiotic, you name it. We take it, and it's just something that we do. I lay them out at everybody's place on our breakfast bar the night before, because mornings are crazy getting kids out the door to school. Yeah. So I kind of prepare them. I'm that person that prepares the night before to make the mornings, a little less stressful.
So we have just one final question for you, Mary Lou Retton. We ask this of all of our guests, and you're joining an illustrious group of people answering this question. Mary Lou Retton, what was the last song you listened to before you did this podcast interview?
24 Karat Gold, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so fun.
That's a great answer.
I would marry him. I would marry him.
No one could blame you.
Seriously.
He's adorable. Yep, 24 Karat.
That is such a great answer. So, Mary Lou, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're a fantastic guest.
Oh, I had so much fun with you, ladies. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts.
Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.